This coming Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court begins hearing arguments in a case that is going to decide whether state laws defining marriage as the union of a man and a woman violate the due process and equal protection clauses of the 14th Amendment. Basically, they're going to make a decision probably in June on whether or not states, those states that continue to protect marriage and say it's between a man and a woman only, if that is unconstitutional, and they will be forced to accept homosexual marriage. And over the past several weeks, I have been doing my best to equip you to discuss this whole same-sex marriage issue with friends and relatives and work associates who may believe that gay marriage is just fine. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. And that Christians who argue against it are narrow-minded and homophobic and bigoted. And of course, that's not true. And over the past few weeks, just here are a few of the facts that I've presented to you in some previous broadcasts. First of all, homosexuals make up about 1 to 2% of the U.S. population, not 10% or 20%, as some gay activists and some media reports would have you believe. And unfortunately, a great number of Americans believe that it's 10 or 20%, according to Pew Research. So realistically, out of 100 people, one or two of them are gay. I also explained that there is no solid evidence that homosexuality is genetic. And both the American Psychological Association and the American Psychiatric Association, by the way, both those groups very pro-gay and very politically liberal, but both of them have stated in their official policy statements that no, we don't have any conclusive evidence that homosexuals are born gay. We've also, in the last couple of weeks, explored some of the theological and sociological arguments against same-sex marriage and for protecting marriage as the union between a man and a woman. And if you're interested, you can find all that information on my last two podcasts. Just go to myfaithradio.com and click on my show page. Now, this morning, I want to tackle a couple more issues in the same-sex marriage debate. You've probably noticed recently that in this whole public debate over gay marriage, you often hear gay spokespeople arguing that gay couples should be given the same state and federal benefits that are given to heterosexual couples. But it's crucial for us to remember that the reason society provides benefits to married couples is that marriage provides benefits to society. Let me say that again. The reason that our government, that our states give benefits to married couples is that marriage itself provides benefits back to society. We've got a whole slew, a whole pile full of studies of social science data showing how marriage benefits men, women, children, and society. And I want to glance at some of that research here this moment. I'm a Christian psychologist, so I like to look at this research, and I'll try to crunch it down into an understandable form. But bear in mind that these research findings apply to natural heterosexual marriages where children are being raised by their biological mother and father. There is no evidence that homosexual marriage would provide these things. In fact, in some ways, homosexual relationships are qualitatively different from heterosexual relationships. Now, how does marriage benefit adults? Well, here are a few ways. Married people have better emotional and physical health, and they live longer than unmarried people. Married couples have greater incomes than single adults, and the longer they stay married, the more wealth they accumulate. They're kind of a financial planner's dream. Married couples, oh, I can't believe this. Married couples enjoy greater sexual satisfaction than unmarried people. Yes, you wouldn't know that from primetime television or cable movies, but indeed, married couples report the greatest level of sexual satisfaction. And those who were pure before marriage and who are monogamous in their marriage relationship have the highest level of sexual satisfaction. What do you know? How about this one? Ladies, listen up. Married women are safer than unmarried women. Never married, cohabiting, separated, and divorced women experience higher rates of domestic violence than married women. That's not to say that domestic violence doesn't occur in marriage. It does. And of course, when it does, we should deal with it very swiftly, both as a society and as a church. But safest place for a woman is in a committed married relationship, not in one of those other relationships. The research also tells us that marriage benefits children. Kids living with married parents are much safer than kids living with single parents. Why? Well, first of all, they're less likely to be aborted, which is it's a great way to start off life in the first place. But then they're also less likely to be abused or neglected. Safest place for a kid is in an intact family with their biological mother and father. Compared to kids in single-parent families, children raised in married-parent homes have better emotional and physical health. They engage in fewer risky behaviors, such as premarital sex, substance abuse, delinquency, suicide. And kids with married parents do better academically, and they fare better economically. They're more likely to graduate from high school, go on to college. They're less likely to live in poverty. And finally, kids raised in intact homes are less likely to cohabit themselves, and they're more likely to view marriage positively and maintain lifelong marriages themselves. How cool is that? And if you pay taxes, and I'm guessing you probably do, here are some of the benefits that marriage provides to society. Marriage makes homes safer places to live because it curbs social problems such as domestic violence and child abuse. And think about the billions and billions of dollars of social welfare dollars that go because of all those problems and because of out of wedlock, childbearing and fatherlessness in this country. So much of our welfare dollar goes because of these problems that occur because marriages were never formed in the first place and people had kids outside of wedlock. And then, of course, mentioned domestic violence and child abuse. How about this one? Communities with more married parent families are safer and more attractive places to live because they are less likely to have substance abuse and crime among their young people. All right. That it's like if you think about it, what are the three rules of real estate? Location, location, location. So that's something everybody wants to know. That's the place you want to live in, a neighborhood with more married parent families. Marriage is also the best antidote to poverty and welfare dependency. In fact, almost every dollar, as I mentioned, we spend on social programs can be traced to out-of-wedlock childbearing and the negative impacts of family breakdown. Married people are more likely to be healthy and productive and engaged citizens, benefiting businesses and ultimately benefiting the economy. Yes, if you have a small business, it's going to be benefited by people who are married. And so I look at all this research, and I got to tell you, as a Christian psychologist, findings like these never cease to amaze me. We can see so clearly that God is the great architect of creation. And when we follow his blueprint for human relationships, things work out the way they are supposed to. But when we defy God and when we live in ways that are contrary to his design, we often reap a harvest of pain and suffering in our lives. And that is one of the things I think that grieves me the most about this entire issue, is there is so much pain and suffering that is wrought by, you know, we need to love homosexuals. We need to love gay men and women with the love of Jesus Christ. And that's, I think, first and foremost. But we also have to understand that there is a political movement in this country that stands directly opposed to God's word. And we're seeing that play out over and over again in our court system. And it's very troubling to me, and I'm sure it's troubling to you as well. We'll explore this issue more next Saturday, as, of course, the Supreme Court begins their hearings this coming Tuesday. It'll be in the news quite a bit.